Today we're bringing our message from Matthew 11, verse 25 down through verse 30. Matthew 11, 25 down through verse 30. I'm entitling the message from what is said in our text in these verses. Our Lord says unto sinners, He's called a friend of publicans and sinners. The Lord says to those sinners in need, He says, come unto me. Notice verse 28. Matthew 11, come unto me, and rest. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Come to Christ and rest. That's the title of the message. Now, this is not talking about rest for the body. We did that last night, or at least tried to. We lay down at night and we seek rest for the body. This rest here he's talking about is rest for our soul, our mortal soul before God, being justified before God freely by His sovereign grace. We find comfort, we find rest, we find peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is ceasing from our own works, our own righteousness, our own deeds, laying down those things Paul called nothing but filthy rags and dung that we might win Christ and be found in Him. This is ceasing from our own way, our own works, our own deeds, and entering into that blessed salvation by the purpose of God and by the purchase of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought us with His own blood. He redeemed us with His own blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, in whom the Lord said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Now, in this chapter, Matthew chapter 11, our blessed Lord declares unto us that He is the Christ of God, that we are expected, that was expected and looked for, and none other. He says here in Matthew 11, verse 4, you go and show John. You tell John, again, those things that you hear and see. The blind really do receive their sight. Those who are spiritually blind, now they see. Those who were lame and could not walk, the Lord said, now they're walking and leaping and praising God. The lepers, if we look at this in a spiritual sense, not only naturally, the lepers are cleansed. Sin is a leprosy. He's cleansed us with His own blood. And the deaf hear, those who were dead in sin, they hear the word of the Lord. The dead had been raised up, you hath He quickened who were dead. And those who are poor and needy have the gospel preached unto them. Blessed is he. Here's the blessed man. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended. Not be offended, we can say with Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. The Lord is saying, I am the Savior. There is no other. Don't look for any other. Neither is there salvation in any other. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He said there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So He is the Savior. He declares it. The works that He did declare that He is the Son of God, that He is the one sent of God. Secondly, our Lord declares unto us that He is the friend and Savior of sinners. Look at verse 18 and 19. John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, well, John got a devil. You know, he's an austere man. He's a stern man. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man. He's a wine bibber. He's a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom, Christ is our true wisdom. He's justified, vindicated by those who believe Him, those that come to Him for salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Think of it. He's the friend of sinners. He's a companion of sinners. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Paul said, Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, I'm the chief one. I'm the chief one. I love that statement. It was said to the Lord in a way of criticism, but the Lord said, I'm the friend of publicans. I'm the friend of notorious sinners. That's what the publican was, notorious sinner. And then thirdly, he declares on us that he's sovereign. He's sovereign in salvation. Sovereign in salvation. At that time, Jesus answered verse 25 and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven, Lord of earth, because you've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good. It seemed good in your sight. It seemed good in your sight. The Lord Jesus Christ came to give us salvation. He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man come to the Father but by and through me. The Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. Our Lord said to those 70 men he sent out, he said, don't rejoice that the devils and the spirit, evil spirits are subject unto you. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Salvation, the Lord came to save his people from their sin. Now, when we talk about and when we say the Lord is sovereign in salvation, what is it that we exactly, what do we mean? Well, we mean this. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. When we say the Lord is sovereign in salvation, we say and repeat exactly what he says in John 17. The Father hath given me power over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as the Father hath given to me. John 17, 2. We mean that he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. He has the right to save whom he will. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. Everything the Lord does is good and it's right. Our blessed Lord is sovereign in creation, created all things by the word of his power. Our God is sovereign in providence, those things that come to pass in time, God from all eternity had decreed and ordained. And our God and Redeemer, our Savior, is also sovereign in salvation. He will save whom he will. Paul put it this way, Lord, we thank you. We give thanks to God because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. Hear our mediator and surety and Savior praise unto the Father and give thanks that God has given him power over all flesh. Turn over here to Matthew 28. The last words of our Lord before he ascended to glory unto his apostles was this. Matthew 28:18. And the Lord Jesus came. This is the risen, victorious Savior. He came unto them saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, as God, he has all power. But this is talking about his office as mediator and surety. God the Father hath given me all power in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this world. He has all power in heaven and in earth to reveal the gospel unto us. The Lord Jesus, give thanks to the Father that the gospel is hid from some and revealed to others. Now you look at that carefully. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hid these things. You've hid these things of the gospel from those who say they are wise and know all things, and those who are knowledgeable, prudent, and you've revealed these things unto your people. Salvation comes by a revelation of God the Holy Spirit to our heart. Turn over here to Matthew 16. Our Lord says this again over here in Matthew 16. When he asked this question in verse 13, Matthew 16, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea, of Philippi, he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the Lord answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Salvation comes by revelation of God. He's hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto his babes. Who are these babes? Who are these babes? Sons of God. His children, his covenant children. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Even so, Father, verse 26. Why does the Lord do everything he does the way he does? Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. It's God's sovereign pleasure. You remember those scriptures in the Psalms where it says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, earth, and seas, and all deep places. The heathen said to David, David, where is your God? He said, our God's in the heavens. He had done whatsoever he had pleased. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, Lord God, what doest thou? Even so, Father, this sovereign revelation of Christ unto his covenant children, these babes in Christ, born of God, by the will of God, the Spirit of God, even so, Father, it seems good in your sight. It's right in his sight. Sovereign pleasure. Who makes you to differ from another? What do you have that you didn't receive? We receive it as a sovereign gift of God. Again, look at verse 27, Matthew 11. Again, the Lord puts the emphasis and prominence of salvation by the sovereign good pleasure of God. All things. Now, what does that include? That includes all things, doesn't it? All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to them who are called of God. I'm thinking of another scripture over here where it says all things are of God. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. But God has revealed them unto us by his spirit, for the spirit searcheth all things, the deep things of God. As it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the thing which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. Look at verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. All things in regard to honoring the law, magnifying the law, in precept and penalty. All things in accomplishing our salvation are delivered unto the Lord Jesus for accomplishment. And then he says, all things are given unto me. All things are delivered unto me. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his sovereign hand, his sovereign keeping. And then he makes this statement. No man knows the Son. The carnal mind receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. No man has a natural knowledge of who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. Who is this one Son of God? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Who is this Son of God? He's God Almighty. God manifest in the flesh. No man naturally knows that. When God teaches us the gospel, one of the first lessons he teaches us that we are sinners, and he teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ is God who accomplished all our salvation. If he's not God, we don't have any salvation. If he's not God, we don't have a Savior. He's God, our Savior. And no man knows this. Naturally, we have to be taught of God. But the Father, he knows all things. Neither knoweth any man the Father. The carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind doesn't receive the things of God. No man knows the Father either. Who is God Almighty? God is not who we think he is. He's who he says he is as he revealed in his word. How is he revealed in his word? As holy. The Lord our God is holy. How is he revealed in the word? He's the sovereign of heaven and earth. He does everything according to his own will, with whom he will, when he will, for his own glory. He's the absolute God of heaven and earth. Nothing comes to pass in time that God hasn't decreed from eternity. Eternity. All things are of God, of him and through him and to him. Romans 11:36, all things. And then it says, to whom be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Aren't you glad the Lord was pleased to choose you from all eternity and reveal himself to you? What is the revelation of salvation? It's Christ. Christ is all and in all. We see all of our salvation vested up completely, totally. In him dwells all the fullness of a Godhead bodily. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are complete, made whole in him. To whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, look at verse 28. What a blessed, blessed promise he gives us here in verse 28. Now, I want you to think of this. In verse 28 and following, I want you to think of this as the Lord our God, as God our Savior, who is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. When he says, come to me, that's not a mere invitation, is it? Now, I might say to you, come over, see me sometime. That would be an invitation. Our Lord doesn't invite men to come to him. He commands men to come to him. The Lord speaks by decree and by commandment. When he says, come, his people are made willing in the day of his power to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not something physical. The old preachers used to say years ago, turn over here to John chapter 5. The old preachers years ago had this saying, come to Christ, but don't move a muscle. Don't move a hand nor a hair. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. When we say, when we talk about, look at John chapter 6, verse 35. The Lord said unto them, John 6:35. The Lord said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. This coming to Christ is the same as believing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is to come to Christ. It's to believe on him, to trust him, to look unto him always for all things. When he says, come to me, that's a command. That's the command of the gospel, to hear the gospel and to repent and believe the gospel. Come to me, he says, all ye that are laboring, all ye that are heavy laden. He said, you come and I'll give. Come at his command and I'll give all things. I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Now, what an encouragement the Lord gives to every broken, guilty sinner. He says, ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters. We had that Wednesday night in our study. Come ye to the waters. Come and buy. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Let me read it to you. Don't turn. Let me just read it to you. Ho, everyone that is thirsty. He said, come ye to the waters. Come. Isaiah 55:1. He that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat. Yea, come buy wine, milk without money and without price. Salvation is free. Free. He said, come to me. Come to me. I'll give you rest. Now, it's not come to the front of the church. It's not come to the mourner's bench. It's not come to the priest. It's not come to the booth. It's not come to a doctoral position. He said, come to me, and I'll give you rest. He's the Savior. It's come to Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only, continually, coming to Him for all of salvation. We come to Him. Now, the promise is this. Turn over to John again, chapter 5. Look at this. John chapter 5, first of all. John chapter 5, look at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Turn over here to John chapter 6, look at verse 37, right where we read a moment ago, right down below, John 6:37. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, now this is coming by faith, he said, I will no wise cast you out. For I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, and believeth on him, may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. You remember the verse over in Hebrews chapter 4, when he talks about, seeing we have a great high priest that is exalted to the heavens, that's seated at the right hand of God, who is tempted and tested in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And then he says what? Come unto me. Come unto me. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wouldn't it be a wise thing to come for salvation and mercy where it's found? To come for pardon and where it's found? In whom it is found? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is submitting to Him. Let me give an example of that. Turn over here to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. To come to Christ in saving faith is to submit to Him as Lord of heaven and earth. There was a story of a leper, Matthew 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Behold, there came a leper. Remember we read he cleansed the lepers? And worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy departed. I will. He came as a mercy beggar. I've never read one time in the Word of God when any needy sinner came to the Lord Jesus Christ. This leper, blind Bartimaeus, the woman who had the issue of blood, all those who came to the Lord Jesus Christ in need of healing, in need of mercy and pardon, the Lord never sent one away. He healed and met the need of every mercy beggar. Never turned one away. When blind Bartimaeus cried out for mercy, the Lord showed mercy. When the thief on the cross, dying, being nailed to the tree for the crimes he committed against Rome, he cried out to the Lord, Lord, have mercy upon me. Remember me. And the Lord said, this day, you're going to be with me in glory. Right now, today. God never turned a mercy beggar away. This ought to encourage us to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Always coming to Him. You know, Peter writes in his epistle, saving faith to whom coming? To whom coming? Saving faith is not an isolated act. Not an isolated one-time act. Saving faith is given of God is always looking to Christ, is always coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith is the life of a believer, always looking, always coming to Christ for all of salvation, always trusting Him for all things. Now, the promise is this, the promise of grace. The Lord says, come to me, those who are laboring, those who are heavy laden, and the promise is, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Spiritual rest here, peace of conscience, ease of mind, calmness of soul, through the application of pardoning grace. The old timers used to say, all grace now and glory forever. He says, I will give you rest. Rest. Free justification by the righteousness of Christ. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. Full atonement from all of our sin by His blood sacrifice. Eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ making a sacrifice for our sin. And through His dying we have life. Through His sacrifice we have forgiveness. He said, I will give you rest. Now look at verse 29. Take my yoke. Take it. Take my yoke. Put it upon you. This is the yoke of mercy. This is the yoke of love. This is the yoke of grace. I want to wear that yoke, don't you? It's His. I want to be yoked together with Him. It's a union by faith. Yoked together with Him upon you. And then He says, learn of me. You know, the more you learn of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you love Him, the more you look to Him, the more you appreciate Him. To you who believe, He is precious. And then look what He says of Himself. To His people who come to Him in saving faith, being drawn by the power of God, by the command of God, and you'll find that He is meek and lowly, that He is a loving, long-suffering, merciful Savior of sinners. He indeed is the friend of publicans and sinners. I have found the Lord to be gracious. I am meek and lowly in heart. And then again He says, you shall. He says, I will give you rest. I will, and you shall find rest for your soul. Rest, eternal salvation. He said, I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. May God give us grace to believe the gospel and to rest in Him. The Apostle Paul put it this way in Acts chapter 13, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and by him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. And I love verse 30. We'll close here with looking at verse 30. Talking about His yoke. He said, take this yoke of love, this yoke of grace, this yoke of faith, and take it, put it on you. He said, my yoke is easy. Oh, the way of mercy is easy. The way of His love for us is easy. He said, my yoke, my way of grace, my way of salvation, it's easy. And my burden, oh, it's so light. It's so light. His way of salvation is easy. His burden is light. He's carried all of our sin away. The way of salvation in grace, by grace in Christ, is easy and light. Salvation by His faithfulness, redemption through His blood, compared to the hard and heavy burdens of the law, which is impossible for us to carry. His yoke is easy and it is light. Remember what the apostle said in Acts 15. He said, now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? It was a yoke of the law and circumcision, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear. But we believe through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as others. My yoke is easy. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is delightful. It's easy and it is light compared to the rigors and bondage of the law. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now turn to Revelation 22. The last word in the book of God says this. The same Lord Jesus Christ says this in Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of David, son of David, the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. Christ is light, in him is no darkness at all. And the Spirit and the bride, that's the church, they say, what do they say? Come. What did the Lord say over here? Come unto me. They say, come. The church says, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come to the well of the water of life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is thirst come. Verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is thirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, freely, freely. Whosoever will. Well, thy people shall be willing in the day of God's power. You know, salvation is not for everyone, but it's for anybody who's in need, whosoever will. You thirsty? You in need? Look to Christ. Look to Christ. He is everything in salvation. Christ is all and in all.